We've been on a series over the back end of last year, and as we entered into this year, Matt, I missed him because I was out on zones, but he's been talking about living a life of purpose. I hear he was excellent. If you missed any of them, go on the podcasts, particularly last week, I hear. I like to big people up. So have a look at that. And we're going to move on into looking at living a life of gratitude. But first, I just want to tell you a little story, if you will roll with me. It says this: two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted towards the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they weren't going to make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful." It's good, isn't it? Sorry, I love that. So you can tell, we're talking about thankfulness, living a life of gratitude. I actually think that in our country at the minute, or in society, this is quite a big issue, as in not being grateful and being in ingratitude. God does so much for us. Our indebtedness to him is enormous, and yet I believe we can infrequently offer thanks for what he's done. Just generally being thankful to God, to one another, I think it gets lost in our busyness, in our relationships. I think it gets lost in our jealousy of others. So this morning, how can we live a life of gratitude? What does it look like? How do we get there? More importantly, how do we stay there? So gratitude means thankfulness, counting your blessings, noticing the simple pleasures, and acknowledging everything you receive. It means learning to live your life as if everything was a miracle, and being aware on a conscious basis of how much you've been given. If you pop this one up, Stephen, I love this. Gratitude shifts your focus from what your life lacks to the abundance that is already present. Just have a look at that. Gratitude shifts your focus from what your life lacks to the abundance that's already there. I think it's easy to see the have-nots, the wants in our life. I mean, we live in a worldview that is have. Want. And yet, how much do we look already at the blessings that God has already put there? It's interesting that behavioral and psychological research has shown the surprising life improvements that can stem when you practice gratitude. Oh, this is amazing. Giving thanks makes people happier. It makes us more resilient. It strengthens our relationships. It improves our health. Better get thankful today. And it reduces stress. That's what they say happens when we're thankful and we've got gratitude. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly up for some of that. Next slide on, I think. Dr. Robert Emmons, he's actually a world-leading scientific expert on gratitude. Didn't know you could get these types of people. But anyway, that's who he is. He's a professor of psychology at the University of California. And this is one of his quotes. "To say we feel grateful is not to say that everything in our lives is necessarily great. It just means we're aware of our blessings." There's actually over 130 times referenced in the Bible about thanksgiving, being thankful. And as I set the scene now, as we look into living this life of gratitude, I've said here, I'm going to look at 3 or 4 verses, but actually I think there's 5. But here's Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, or 4 probably. We are to approach God with thanksgiving and praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Next one up. This is Psalm 107, verse 22. We are to offer him thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. I love a song that we sing here from Matt Redman. 10,000 reasons for my heart to sing. That's a song that when I sing it, it challenges me. As I stand there and I go, 10,000 reasons that I've got for my heart to sing of this praise and thanks in offering of a song. I don't know how many people are sat here. If we could all think of one, then we maybe get to 100. We've got to go a long way, haven't we? But I want to get there. I love that song because I get 10,000 reasons for my heart to sing. Let's try and find some of those. Psalm 22, verse 3. God inhabits, key word here, the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. No, God isn't saying that he inhabits the complaints of his people. God inhabits the grumbling of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. And I believe the quickest way to see changes in your life is when we give thanks. As we go through this, it seriously is, it is life-changing if we can grasp hold of what giving thanks, giving gratitude, blessing our Father God does for us as people. Colossians 2 says, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done. There's a bit more up there. But again, overflowing, it just gets that sense of there's more. You can't control it. It's pouring out of you, this gratitude, this thanksgiving for what God's done. I think this might be the last one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, note here that it says give thanks in all circumstances, but the Bible doesn't actually say give thanks for all circumstances, and there's a difference. So in all of our circumstances, be them painful, be them upsetting, be them tragic, be them a nightmare, we still got to give thanks in those circumstances, but not actually for those circumstances. The one important thing that gratitude does is it actually thrusts us beyond ourselves. It delivers a powerful blow to the self-centeredness of our fleshly nature and actually fixes our eyes on God. So no wonder the Bible takes such a positive position on the necessity of being grateful. In fact, it is presented as a command. It's not actually an option. We are commanded to be grateful. For this is God's will in Jesus Christ. As I've been preparing this, I've been challenging myself personally. Am I grumpy or am I grateful? Don't know whether I want to throw that one out to you guys. It's a bit like Mr. Men books, isn't it? Mr. Grumpy or Little Miss Grumpy. Or are you Little Miss Grateful or Mr. Grateful? I know where I'd like to be, but I actually don't know which one all the time I am. I actually found out, I'm not very good medically wise, but about knowing stuff, but some people here might. It's actually totally and utterly impossible to be both grumpy and grateful at the same time. you physically, you can't do it. This must be, if you just think of a moment, just have a moment to think of a grumpy or complaining time this last week. Just have a think. Zoe's thought of one. A grumpy moment. And think what you felt in that moment, how you're feeling. And then try and work out whether you could have been grateful at the same time. It's not those feelings that you get when you're thankful, grateful, you're pleased, you're so happy, you're thanking God, etc. Doesn't fit with the moaning, groaning. It's like two ends of a line. So let's just look at three points in living a life of gratitude. Firstly, make gratitude your attitude. If we go back one, I think, Stephen. Make gratitude your attitude. Let's turn our attention now to the word giving thanks. This phrase actually means to be grateful, to agree with, to say the same thing. When you look up the definition of grateful, it comes from two words. And the first part is this, you can tip it on, great. And you've probably seen these on the road, obviously. Great refers to a structure or a frame with bars that run parallel. And this is referenced to being in agreement with or going the same direction. So remember, this is to do with the word grateful, that we are in agreement with, we are going the same direction. Colossians 3 says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." So whatever we say or do should be done giving thanks to God. When you're giving thanks to God, you are doing or saying things in the name of Jesus, who is the Word of God. You are aligning your words and actions with God. You're going the same direction as he's going. That's brilliant, isn't it? That's being grateful. We're aligning ourselves. We're going the same direction. We're going with what he's saying, his words and actions. So simply put, giving thanks to God means that whatever we say or do is in agreement with, is going the same way. One who lives a life of gratitude is living a life filled with words that speak what God speaks and actions that follow God's word as well. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Grateful. So secondly, take stock of why you're thankful. I'm told it takes 3 weeks to start a habit. And actually it takes another 3 to solidify it, to make it permanent. No matter what your circumstances are, I believe you can find reasons to be thankful. And if we're going to take stock of that, I'd suggest a few minutes each week, grab a notebook, a pen, make a list of the things which you're thankful for. In the Bible, one of the biggest miracles that we read is Jesus feeding the 5,000. There's a young boy, he's a kid, he brought 5 loaves of bread and he brought 2 fishes. What did Jesus do? He takes what the little boy has, lifts it up to heaven, and gives thanks. He divides it, and it supplied all the needs for 5,000 people and more. When God blesses someone, he does it by taking what they naturally have. He multiplies it to make it sufficient for all their needs. That's God's blessing. And that's worth saying thank you for. It's interesting. I found this quote. And it's interesting. It's an American quote by Abraham Lincoln. And I'm just thinking of the inauguration that had just happened. I wrote this before that happened. But it's interesting what I'm about to say, that I heard somebody in the crowd on the inauguration day again talking about we've left God out, we've forgotten God. And this is something I just want to pull out from what President Abraham Lincoln said, there's a national day of prayer and fasting in America. It's held on the first Thursday in May. And every year, the current president reads out his or her proclamation for that annual day where people turn to pray to God. Listen to what President Abraham Lincoln said. This was on the 30th of April in 1863. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved for many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, and as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It is our duty then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for mercy and forgiveness. That was part of what he proclaimed on that day when they were ready for a day of prayer and fasting. They'd forgotten to thank God. They'd forgotten that actually their blessing and their success was a blessing from God. When we look at what we're thankful for, it changes our perspective. It moves us along that line of grumbling and complaining to being thankful and grateful. And I think that's where God's wanting us over here. Take stock of why you're thankful. I really don't, talking about myself here, we don't do it enough. And thirdly, make God the source of your thankfulness. Hebrews 12, 28 says this, we should be grateful that we were given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in this kingdom, we please God by worshipping him and by showing him great honor and respect. We should be thankful because God is worthy of our thanksgiving. It is only right to credit him for every good and perfect gift that he gives. That's from James 1. We should credit God for every good and perfect gift. I know many times I credit myself, honesty here. I've done well at this, or I've, you know, managed to secure an amazing job or whatever. It all comes from God. Expressing thankfulness helps us remember that God is in control. Thankfulness, then, it's not only appropriate, it's actually healthy and beneficial to us. It reminds us of that bigger picture, that we belong to God and that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Truly, we do have abundant life. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I think gratefulness is fitting when you read those types of passages. Every good and perfect gift, every blessing, every spiritual blessing, and living life to the full. Why would you not think that that is a great thing to thank God for? God is the source of our thankfulness. So what's the benefits of actually living this life of gratitude? Well, we heard earlier from 1 Thessalonians 5. It actually keeps us in God's will. Don't know about you, but I'd prefer to opt into his will than to be standing on the other side of it. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. What's the benefit? It's keeping in God's will. Secondly, it makes you better, not bitter. If we hear earlier about the health things again, about less stress, etc. Living this life of gratitude helps us to be better, not bitter. Philippians 4, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. You will experience God's peace, which will help guard your heart and minds. I think this is really important. As I said, we live in the world, but not of it. But being in the world means there is this culture of you have everything now. It's buy and worry about the cost later because we have credit cards, etc. And I wonder how easy is it really to be thankful for other people's blessing? When you see other people getting new jobs, new houses, new clothes, how easy is it then to live in that life of gratitude? But in Philippians 4, it says that giving thanks for everything, and that I believe includes other people's blessings, you will experience God's peace, which will help guard your heart and mind. I want my heart to be guarded when I look at social media, when I talk to various people, that actually I'm thankful for God for the blessing that's on all of you out here. I want to be better and not bitter. Let's guard our hearts and minds. Thirdly, it honours God. Psalm 50 says, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honours me. And lastly, it creates an atmosphere for fellowship, relationship. In 2 Thessalonians 1, it says, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Thanking God for others takes the focus off us and sees what we can be thankful for in other people. It creates that atmosphere of fellowship. They were thanking God for their brothers and sisters. Stephen, could you just push it on? And I might need a little bit of help of just undoing that because I didn't want them to blow away. let's just read Little Piglet. Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, he could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. Look at his big balloon. Molly did a great... synopsis of Monday night when Dwayne came here, Pastor Dwayne from Texas, on this over-the-top message. And as I've been preparing this about gratitude, I've gone, what does that over-the-topness look like then when we're talking about gratitude? Dwayne talked about that actually when you have gone over the top, when you've got to the summit of a big mountain, then what happens is your ceiling that was up here for lots of things, whether it's prayer, whether it's fasting, whether it's preaching, whether it's thankfulness, has suddenly become now your floor. Or the other words that I picked up on, what was your maximum has now become your minimum. So if I could just borrow that balloon for a minute. So if we look at Piglet, this is a Piglet size amount of gratitude. This is how much I've been able to give or be in my thankfulness to God. I can do this much. But if we're looking at our maximum now becoming our minimum, this is totally duff. Have it over there. It's coming. What does over the top look like? It's gone large. We like that in America, actually, don't they? We just want to go large. We've shifted. We've gone up a gear. Our maximum is now our minimum. We're aiming. We're going for big, for over the top in our gratitude. What does that look like for us? As church, as individuals. Who wants to go over the top in gratitude this year? Who wants to start holding on to this kind of size of gratitude towards God in like everyday lives, in all our circumstances, whatever they look like? I certainly do. What does our gratitude look like now? Where could it go during this year? I want you to just read on your own this next line. Because if you agree with me, then I want us to declare it together. Matt, are you happy to come back and band whichever way you want to go? Do our lives at the moment demonstrate a sense of gratitude? Is there joy in our life? Does it show when people look at us? Can they see gratitude? Can they see blessing? Can they see thankfulness in everything we do? Are we grumpy or are we grateful? Are we going to be better or have we been bitter? Strong words. But I want to move on. I wonder what we will look like as a church when we overflow with gratitude. When it just comes pouring out and spilling out and splashing out. Can't hold it in. It does change your perspective. It really does. I've been trying it a little bit more this week. I love it when God uses a situation like illness. I'm thankful in all circumstances. I really am. There's challenges around. There's things going off in our life. But I guarantee that if we turn our thoughts, our praises, our thanks to God, you'll see a different view. Won't be as big a hurdle. So if you're happy and there's no pressure, this is a declaration. I haven't looked up what the word declaration means, but I'm sure it's, you know, it's that whole declaring. It's saying with purpose. It's meaningful. Intentional. Any other words people can think of? I can't really read it up there. I'm a bit like Lauren now. I might have to go for an eye test. Why don't we stand together? If we're going to declare something, I feel as though we need to stand. Ashford Church, we want to live a life of gratitude in 2017. I think we want to go above and beyond and over the top in thankfulness of what God's given to us, He's going to give to us. So let's declare these words together. I declare, I am grateful for who God is in my life and what He's done. I will not take for granted the people, the opportunities, and the favor He has blessed me with. I will look at what is right and not what is wrong. I will thank him for what I have and not complain about what I don't have. I will see each day as a gift from God. My heart will overflow with praise and gratitude for all of his goodness. And this is my declaration. Amen.
Was that helpful? Why don't we thank Claire?